listening to the Couples Guide podcast.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Talia.
We're both licensed marriage and family therapists, and today,
like every day,
we're debunking myths and delivering truth about dating, relationships, and everything in between.
Trust us.
It's awesome.
Episode 118. Ouch, Talia. Ouch.
It hurts.
I've got a pain. I've got a hurt.
You hurt me. Oh, have you seen, what is it, Central Intelligence?
No, I have not.
It's so funny. It's Kevin Hart and The Rock, and there's a scene. Yeah. If you haven't watched the movie, skip 15 seconds ahead. There's a scene in the movie.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, where The Rock acts as Kevin Hart and his wife's couples therapist, and he's like, okay, now, I'm gonna be your wife. And they were going through the scene, and obviously this would never happen in therapy, but I think Kevin Hart slapped The Rock as the therapist, but obviously it was the wife, and he goes, you hit me, you hit us, you hurt us. And it was just, I don't know why when you were saying that, it just reminded me of that scene. It was so funny. It's like, you hit us, you hurt us.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about today in some ways. When there are hurts, when there are pains, when there's something that needs healing. Because this is something that, of course, like we see in therapy all the time, couples come in, they have these deep-seated hurts and pains in the relationship. For me, I see it a lot as like, by the time they come in the office, there's like also then resentments have built up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So they're really disconnected. And so a lot of my work is addressing that directly, the stuff that has happened between the two partners. But also, a lot of times we uncover, like, a lot of the reason why they're such painful hurts that need healing is it's actually stuff that needs healing from even before the relationship.
Yep.
It can go as far back as childhood, doesn't have to, but it could, or it could be something else from a previous relationship.
True.
Or just be, like, something that's been individual in how maybe someone views themselves and their identity, and that needs some healing and growing, too, so...
I love this topic so much. Honestly, it is so all-encompassing, I would say, as well, of really what we do bring into relationships, because we have our own stuff. Everybody has stuff. Everyone has baggage. Some people have more than others. Some people have just like a little tote carry-on, and some people have like the full 7-piece luggage that you asked for Christmas. No judgment.
8-piece.
Yeah, 8-piece, right? I'll round up to 10, you know? Plus her baggage, so I'm not sure. I don't know what you came in with. I do think there's something to be said, though, for how much our individual healing or baggage, which we've talked about in our episode, Repack Your Baggage,
that
does impact if we are more sensitive to certain hurts or potential hurts in a relationship, or we're more prone for resentment because let's say we come into a relationship with previous stuff from our family or previous dating history, and then our current partner is doing those things. And if we haven't healed from it, you bet your buns we're going to be more triggered, I would say, rather than going, oh, this is the thing that I noticed. This is where we get eventually with healing. Yeah. Oh, wow, this really bothers me. Why does this bother me? Where have I seen this before? Is a good question to ask to know if you need to heal something, I would say. We're not getting into that yet, but as we do the intro or the kind of the preamble, I would say that's a good question to be like, why is this so triggering? Oh, this is not the first time I've experienced it. This might also be something that goes against values. So maybe it's not even just a past hurt, but you need to heal because someone's violated your boundaries or crossed over your values. And now you're hypersensitive. I'm not saying that as a negative thing. Like your spidey senses are up when somebody does that, because it does hurt you when someone doesn't remember your values or uphold them or remember a boundary, I would say. So we can go so many directions. I'm excited for today's episode.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this happens. It's so common. It's just, I mean, that's part of being in a relationship is we're going to, these things are going to come up. What I'm interested in talking about is, so how do we heal in the relationship? Or put another way, how do we use the relationship to heal?
Yep.
There's absolutely an important role that individuals do some of their own healing.
Please.
Whether it's because it's stuff from before the relationship, so they need to take personal responsibility for that.
Yes.
Or a rupture in the relationship. But for them to even have a productive relational healing, they need to kind of like get to a foundational place individually.
And their own stuff, yeah.
That's important. But I really get excited about guiding couples in my sessions about how to use their relationship to heal, how to actually attune to one another, talk about these things, and let the shift in the relationship be the healing essence, if you will. So that's the part I get stoked on.
Yeah, I think maybe labeling like internal, for me, I'm a label mm-hmm. person. Internal mm-hmm. healing is like our work to do. And then relationships can be quite reparative mm-hmm. and like I'm now mixed because the results are that you shouldn't use Neosporin for some cuts, but whatever. It's like a Neosporin or some sort of healing balm that helps aid the healing. And same thing that we've talked about before, when you have something that is a hurt or that you are resentful of previous or current relationship for, and you aren't addressing it, the hurt can worsen. So it's like, imagine you just have like a scratch on the surface. When you're trying to heal, it's much easier for your partner to come in and be like, oh, wow, I see that. Let me help. And the longer we like hide it or cover it up metaphorically, and then we're like, and I can't believe you've done this whole time, and you reveal it, and it's like this deep gaping wound to the bone. They're like, oh my gosh, like what happened? And it's like, well, I didn't want to say anything because, and I think we can do so much healing and repair and relationship by bringing it up, not literally as soon as it happens necessarily. Cause I think as soon as something hurts, we should ask ourselves, why does this hurt? Where have I seen it before? Then once we realize that, if we can bring it to our partner and be like, hey, I don't want to resent you. In fact, I like you and I'd like to keep liking you and loving you. Here's what doesn't work for me. Here's what I'd like instead. Where before it builds into this like huge resentment that's really hard to move through. You and I both know this. So many couples come in already on the door of resentment, or like moved upstairs into the bedroom of resentment's house, and it's like really hard to get them out.
Yeah. And so, and I think like broad example.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Not super specific, but also not like super just conceptual. But like a pretty broad example is, you come into the relationship and you've had maybe really bad romantic partners that broke your trust, or maybe growing up, you really developed, as we like to talk about, insecure attachment. It just meant like maybe, you know, you had one parent who abandoned you, or in mm-hmm. some way wasn't reliable for you when you were growing up. The point is, you're coming into this relationship and you have these trust fears.
Yes.
And a lot of times the trust fears can show up by either directly like focusing on another person, like, oh, I can't trust anyone. I can only rely on myself.
Yeah.
So the world is a scary place. And my partner, while I love them, they're also scary.
Or it could
be a trust fear of viewing ourselves and going like, well, I'm not lovable. I'm scared that if I really show who I am, this person I love is going to not love me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, trust fears can kind of show up, you know, focused on the other person, on yourself, but that's what you bring in. And that's the thing that the relationship can be so healing for.
Yes.
This is one of the things that I commonly get to with couples. We always joke on the podcast about, it's not about the dishes in the sink. So often, it's not about the dishes in the sink, it's about these trust fears
mm-hmm.
or something like that, that then if we can uncover that, well, what's really going on, it's not that we're pissed about our differences in the sink, it's that I'm actually really scared that if we don't do the dishes my way, I'm not important to you,
mm-hmm.
and therefore I'm not lovable. Because that's something that I learned really young to be insecure about. Or that's something that other partners abused me about emotionally and told me that because I was so picky about dishes that I'm not actually lovable and they left me. And so that's just like laying the groundwork of how do we use the relationship to heal? As you're saying, first, you know, part of the therapeutic process for me is identifying that, getting to, oh, this is what's happening. But then, you know, maybe listeners can start seeing where this is going, because once you kind of understand it that way, you go, oh, then what you can do is have a corrective experience or a healing experience if you safely and attunely start talking to your partner about that. If you start going, I'm actually feeling really vulnerable and scared that you don't love me.
Mm-hmm.
And then that allows your partner, when it's in a safe place, like in therapy, or if you have a safe, grounded space for yourselves in your relationship at home, your partner can then sit there and hear those fears, be with you in the fears, validate the fears, and reassure you against the fears.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks like something like, yeah, that makes perfect sense that you would be really worried that...
Fill in the blank.
I don't, you know, X, Y, Z. I get that. And I want you to know I absolutely do love you. I absolutely am here for you.
I don't think you're unlovable.
I'm not going anywhere. And I'm with you right now.
That's the hope.
That's the template. That's the sort of vibe of how you can set these things up, which is what I set up in sessions all the time. And then that becomes a healing moment. It becomes a wow. All of those fears that one partner had, you get to have the exact opposite. Instead of a trust fear, it's a trust build.
Yes.
I was right there. And now I get to experience what it's like to have my partner sit with me, be with me, reassure me. And it's so healing. So that's a big old stuff. Take it where you want off of that template idea.
No, I think
that's what I'm talking about. Like how to use the relationship to heal.
It's also, it's scary to bring that up because what you are fearing is them being like, you are unlovable. I can't believe you brought this up to me. You psycho. Yeah. Which is, again, if you've ever had that experience or you've only built it in your head that will happen if you bring it up, it takes a lot of bravery and courage to address these things with your partner and to not be so afraid of what the outcome might be that you just circumvent bringing it up and letting them have the opportunity to repair or heal at all. And I think a huge part of healing, utilizing a relationship or being able to lean on a relationship for healing also can be bringing up to your partner what you're working on in individual therapy from your past, let's say, for example, or from a rupture maybe in the dyad that you're currently in, and maybe you're doing EMDR or you're doing guided meditation or you're doing some sort of healing and repair solo, that you can still bring that up to your partner like, hey, just so you know, if I'm not feeling my best today or if I'm not up to going out to dinner or if I'm not whatever it might be, then I'm going to let you know that I'm just not feeling the best. It's nothing personal. So you also don't cause further ruptures. So I think it's like a two-way process. You can utilize the relationship to heal, and you can also utilize the relationship to let your partner know you're healing so that they don't take things personally if you're more removed or what have you. I think that can be a good thing too, to prevent hurt or resentment of like, well, you were cold and distant. It's like, no, I really had a rough EMDR session. I just want to go take a bath and go to bed when I get home. Your partner could be like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. It's not that you don't like me or I'm unlovable or any of those narratives.
Yeah. Well, and that gets to a lot of times in that vulnerability or when we're feeling, so for example, those trust fears, that like we read our partners wrong. And so that can add to it.
Correct.
And so a lot of what I support couples with is, well, how do you actually, you know, how do you action item a healing experience?
Yeah.
So because there is the fear of vulnerability of if I do turn and share genuinely myself, then my partner will full on reject me. Mm-hmm. I would say it's really uncommon.
Yes, unless you're in an abusive relationship.
Unless you're in an abusive relationship.
It's uncommon, yeah.
But what can be unfortunately very common is one partner takes that risk, and even if they're doing it in like the most therapeutic way that I could go like, oh my gosh, that's a beautiful thing that I can't even improve on. If the other partner who's hearing that doesn't know how to respond, it can feel like a rejection. That person might lean into like, say, well, let's problem solve this right now. You're like, no.
My favorite. Yeah.
Or turns into a behavior request. And, you know, that might be the most well-intentioned response.
Yes.
But that can just feel more like, well, yeah, you're right. You're wrong. So let's do it differently. And then it just builds shame.
Wrong with you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's where I see it. That's like just a common example where couples kind of get missed. And the other partner's like, what? I heard that you thought this and I was trying to fix it. Or another like really common one is the invalidation. Like someone turns and shares something like, hey, this is really hard for me and I'm scared that you don't love me or like you said this and that hurt me. And the other partner's like, no, that's not what I meant, blah, blah, blah. And then they start like clarifying their point, which is super valid, but unfortunately it's so invalidating for the other partner who is sharing vulnerably. And that's just where couples go too fast and need to slow that down. And so that's where I go into like helping couples understand, how do you heal? What does healing actually look like? And it's for my style, it's very mindful, i.e. very mm-hmm. present process oriented. It's very much about, hey, I have these fears, these pains in this moment. And in right now, when I'm feeling that fear or that pain, what can we do to heal? And I think a really quick like starting place that I like to give couples is slow down.
Yeah.
Just listen and sit together in the discomfort. The person who is looking for healing shares to be understood, and their partner listens to understand, and just make sure that they understand where their partner's coming from. We say this all the time on the podcast in a lot of different ways, but this is part of why we care so much about listening to understand, is because when we feel heard and understood, there's a healing element. Also, I've said this before, when we share our stories in a safe way and we're accepted and not judged, that alone is a healing experience. That's a lot of what, like, a lot of healing can happen in individual therapy. We share our stories with someone who yep. creates a safe space and accepts us. Well, you can do that in your relationship too. So
yes, give your down. Relationship partner a chance. Yeah, like exactly. I tell my I used to work finally it's out. I used to work exclusively with childhood sexual abuse survivors in my practicum years ago, like deep trauma, super, like truly disorganized attachment. The people who are supposed mm-hmm. to keep you safe are the ones abusing you. So very hard for them to trust in life. And I would tell them, you know, you don't have to tell anyone your story. You don't even have to tell me. I'm not going to pry. Seriously, this is not a bait and switch. If you want to tell me, you can. If not, I'll just go with whatever the case notes, because they were always transferred cases. And I would tell them, you know, if you ever tell anyone else that's not a therapist or has no background in this, just know that they might not take it the way that you're hoping, because you've lived with this for, let's say some of them know about this, or, you know, it's not a repressed memory and they're aware of it for like 10 years. Then you've lived with it for 10 years. You're telling somebody this and it's 30 seconds that they've known it, and they love you most likely, or they care for you. They have all these thoughts and feelings of their own, which are valid, which some people don't know to not share right away because they're not trained. Like,
yeah.
But that person's lived with what you've lived with for 10 years for 30 seconds. Not saying it's going to take them 10 years to accept it, but give them some grace also that they might mess it up. It doesn't mean they don't care for you. Same thing with our partners. We could tell them something that we've told a previous partner that was not landing well. And then with the new partner, they're like, oh, that's it. And we're like, what? That wasn't a big deal. They're like, no. And sometimes they're like, me too. So then you're like, oh, great. I'm so glad I didn't shove this down and act like you were going to not love me if I shared this. So give your partner grace that they may not handle it. And it might not be healing immediately when you tell them whatever it is, but there's an opportunity for a redo. And you could always share with them like, hey, I didn't love it earlier when you went right into logic, but I understand that's how you cope. And I really appreciate you hearing me out and listening to me. Thanks. You know, I think we can make a lot of headway too by acknowledging the effort. As long as it wasn't intending to be more hurtful, they're really trying. I would say more often than not, our partners are trying to make it right. They just don't always know how.
Yeah. I like what you're saying. And it makes me think about, I guess, a tip and trick is let your partner process.
Yes.
And it makes sense that it can be really hard, especially if you're the one initiating a vulnerable sharing and looking for healing. Because in that frame of mind, I could totally understand, like, hey, I'm sharing this thing. Yeah. It's since it's so scary to share, you know, I'm in my fight or flight
mm-hmm.
space. I'm amped up. And then I share with my partner. And I also had this like fear of what would happen. My partner would like shut down and like not, you know, talk to me about it. Oh, and then I had this dream of, oh, but it'd be really nice if they just like comforted and soothed me and like gave me a hug and that. But then sometimes when you actually do that and you get like, say that example I gave of a shutdown, allow yourself that tool, that tip to let your partner process, because
yes.
them shutting down may not actually be the thing you're scared is going on. You
right.
might be making the wrong meaning of what's happening.
Yes.
Of them rejecting you or can't handle that. Or in some way that scary thing you're worried about, it can actually just be your partner going, oh, okay.
I'm processing.
That's some big news.
Yeah.
Or actually, I guess a cleaner way, I just want to clean this up a little bit. A cleaner way is like, if you're worried you're sharing something, like say it's in the relationship, yeah, and you're worried you're going to piss your partner off.
Right.
And then you share, and maybe they are a little frustrated, right? And then you say, great, see, I knew it. I was being vulnerable, and now you're pissed off. You're talking about, whoa. Slow it down. And if your partner is not leaning into combat with you, but is just generally frustrated and needs some time to process, like you said, you've been thinking about this for 10 years. Yeah. They had 30 seconds. So I see that all the time where one partner hears something it's difficult to hear, and they actually do have the skill to be like, okay, that's hard, that's difficult, and being honest, like that's, you know, really frustrating, but give me some time, let me sit with that. And they know to process their frustration into a more grounded place. So that's where my brain goes. We were talking about that different idea of like, let your partner process, let that be a thing. And that's so that you can do what I'm talking about, which is slow down, ask to be understood, ask to be, you know, sat with in whatever needs healing. And then your partner listening, understanding, not trying to change anything, but just acknowledging and validating that that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And the reason why I think that's so healing is because as we're framing this conversation, this is about relationship things that need healing.
Yes.
This is about generally something at some point in your life, whether it's your current relationship or the past, that someone who you loved and cared about wasn't there for you.
Yeah.
So when you have the experience of turning to someone vulnerably and being understood and them sitting with you in your distress, it is the exact antidote to that thing that happened. It is the complete opposite. It is someone who you care about very deeply sitting with you and is available to you. That's the whole name of the game of relationships.
Yes.
Can I count on you to be there for me? Are you there for me? Do you still love me?
Am I worthy?
Yeah. And like, all of this to that trust piece.
You brought up, what was it? Four sentences ago. Oh, sometimes the factor of just like time in a relationship and repeated positive interactions can be healing in and of itself. Like sometimes there doesn't need to be this active, concerted effort towards it. It could just simply be the fact of, my partner always does what they say they're going to do, whereas other partners haven't. That's very healing, both individually and relationally. Or you bring up that you would like your partner to do what they say they're going to do when they say they're going to do it. And in the beginning, let's say they didn't, and now they are, that can be healing too. It's like, wow, I can make a behavior change request and trust that you'll actually follow through with it. So I think just time in a relationship where your partner shows up positively the way you both are wanting, asking for, et cetera, can also be incredibly healing.
Yeah. Well, and that's where trust gets built. I mean, trust building is based on repetition of positive experiences. And so this like sort of idea that I'm suggesting for healing a relationship is to give that healing moment, which translates into a trust moment that allows us to go, oh, cool. Whether it is a specific behavior or just listening and being understood. And I think it's easy to illustrate when you take it to the example to like to the extreme of infidelity. And a lot of couples who can successfully work through that level of rupture and betrayal and actually heal. And that's one of the questions I get all the time from people is like, well, how does that work? Well, we have these healing moments in therapy. It doesn't happen immediately. And it's one of the most difficult context to get safety in order to have those vulnerable sharings. However, it's the same thing where once we get to a place of safety and both partners can sit and acknowledge this needs healing and this is painful, then the partner who was betrayed, I can sit and, you know, support them in sharing that pain, those fears that came up from the betrayal. And the partner who betrayed, I can support them in sitting and hearing and acknowledging and allowing that to be felt with their partner. And it's difficult because everyone's sitting in this really like painful betrayal feelings. But at the same time, when you do that and have that, it actually becomes that validating experience, that ownership. And again, it goes into wow, there is this vulnerability and emotional connection where previously someone didn't show up in the relationship and now they are. And so it's also a corrective experience. Now, that's me just applying this template to a very extreme level of that of something in a relationship that needs healing. I want to acknowledge, though, that like that's not a one-time thing. This doesn't happen just once where it's like, cool, we did it one time. We had a healing moment where I was able to share how painful and scary it was to be betrayed and you were there for me.
And that was one time all we needed.
And that's all. But that's one of the things that like couples can get frustrated with. They're like, well, we've done that and it's not healed. And actually the partner who did the betraying but is actually like showing up and is willing to do the work and wants to heal and has genuine sorry remorse, has made apologies, changed behaviors, can also start getting burned out of like, what more do you want me to do? How is it? And that's because there needs to be acknowledgement that like healing happens over time and you need multiple moments of this because it takes that repetitive experience to build that trust back up. And I liken it to
one and done.
Yeah, it's I liken it to a lot of people. It's like, hey, it's when you get an antibiotic prescription, and the doctor's like, you need to finish the prescription, not just when you're initially feeling better.
But I feel good after 4 days, so I'm going to stop taking it.
Yeah, but there's a reason. It's dosed out, and you need to do more than just a few to help really get the healing you need
long term. Like we talked about with that cut, the 4 days might heal the top part of the cut, but if you have an infection that's growing deeper in the layers, then only taking the 4 days of antibiotics is definitely not going to heal that part, which I think is where, hold on, most people stop because or they're like, I've brought this up to my partner, we've talked about it once, twice, even 10 or 15 times, what when will they just let it go? And it's like, for them, and I've had to explain this even in both being the client and the therapist in sessions before in relationship, that's not how PTSD works. Like PTSD makes whatever felt, whatever existed truly in the past come super forefront to the current moment. It eclipses all of your rational brain for the most part to see things as they are. And it feels real. It does not feel like it's in the past. When I'm not triggered, then yes, I can see it's in the past. I'm not 14 or 17 or what have you. But when I'm triggered and I'm bringing this up, that's me processing and I need to be able to lean on you as a partner, whether or not you remain my partner or not, remains to be seen whenever couples come in with this. And that's where I always tell them, like, let's see how much that we can get done in the healing. My goal is not to keep you together. If that's your goal, I support you in that. But that's not the only way out in couples therapy. And a lot of the times when we are able to come to our partner multiple times and every time we come to them, they give us the same reassurance. I love you. I'm here for you. You don't need to be worried about that. But I understand if you are. What else can I do to help you? Did something I did or didn't do today trigger you? Like taking accountability, not that it's your job to heal it, but more so like, hey, I noticed you brought the thing up 10 times this week, but I also noticed it was the same time last year. Is an anniversary reaction? Like when couples do the work themselves as an individual to not get triggered, especially if there's the betrayal piece like you're talking about, the betrayer also has to go do their own work to understand why they did it and not get triggered when the person who was betrayed brings it up. Yes. Is it uncomfortable? Sure. But for the person bringing it up, it's healing. They're trying to heal from it.
Well, and the discomfort is with both people. And that's why it makes sense that like, hey, we've talked about this maybe 10 times. Can we just like move on?
Yeah.
It's the reason, I mean, it makes sense why people want to do that is because it's uncomfortable every time.
Yeah. I don't want to hear about what I did wrong.
Yeah. And that's difficult to do. But that's part of the healing process that it takes repetition to do it. However, I will say it's not just for the betrayer to learn that lesson and know that it's not a, you know, a one and done, even with the most genuine, like, I want to repair this.
Yeah.
It's also for the person who was betrayed in a, how they bring up that. I mean, if it, you know, that I'm coming from a base of like, you're in good therapy. Yes. You know how to share this pain softly and, you know, vulnerably not laying into the shame and the blame to the other person.
Right.
Because I'm coming from a space where, you know, this is someone who feels that shame and remorse.
Yeah.
So there's that piece. And then also, this is actually one of the things that is I find really common by the time couples come to therapy and have this complaint of this, we had this infidelity years ago and we're struggling to heal still. We talk about it, or even we even listen to your podcast, Ryan, and we know how to do some of that stuff, but it's not going anywhere. The other thing that can happen, and you kind of hinted at with the PTSD thing, is the person who was betrayed may not be allowing those healing moments to wash over them. They may not actually be allowing that relationship moment to be the Neosporin. They're not allowing that relationship moment to be the antibiotic pill to help clean out the festering wound. So one of the things to look for that we do, or that I do in couples therapy, is slow that process down to allow that partner who's healing go and experience, hey, whoa, what's it like to actually sit with this person in front of you now? It's really scary, because this is when we're talking infidelity, this is the person who betrayed your trust.
Right.
It is really hard to let the person who hurt you also be the one who helps heal you.
Oh yeah.
But
because how many
But that's the thing, is like, this is, if you're saying you want to repair the relationship, actually the relationship can be the most healing thing.
True.
So it's a two-person process. They both need to have that person coming in, sorry, the betrayer coming in and really being available and attuned and grounded, not letting their shame block and any defensiveness block hearing their partner's hurt from what they did. They need to own that. And then the person who was hurt also has this work to come in and take a very vulnerable, risky space to share the hurt and allow that present process of sharing to actually be healing, to actually allow that happens. Atlas agrees. Atlas agrees with everything I'm saying.
I would also add, what's that? Yeah? Okay. I got you.
Yes.
I would also add that, oh, excuse you, lady. Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Atlas would like to say no.
Our newest host really wanted to get
who is already learning to talk. Yes.
Yeah.
Can mommy talk?
No.
And then we'll sit down and feed you, okay? The fact of the matter is, when we're in an adult relationship with a couple, like a partner, the concern comes up. It's like, well, you can't heal in the same environment that got you sick. But we're not in our family of origin where we feel trapped. We're in an adult relationship where we have agency to at least give it a try if we feel safe enough, and know that we don't have to stay in that environment that got us sick, quote unquote.
And I think you need to assess either just the couple or maybe with the help of a professional like us about what is a new environment. I would definitely argue if a couple's coming in to see me, then the whole part of like, not part, maybe like my entire service is creating a new environment for them. So a lot of what I'm suggesting about how to actually do this healing move in a relationship is creating a new environment. If couples are slowing down, sharing their hurts and their fears and sitting together in them, validating them and just like being together, that's a whole new environment for most couples. And being able to stay present and actually feel what it's like to go, oh my gosh, I'm sharing this vulnerable, scary thing with another human and they're still here with me. Or the flip side, like, wow, my partner's sharing this scary, painful thing and I'm with them still and I can support them in this moment. That's a whole new environment.
Yeah.
That is a new environment at times.
I agree.
If you're trying to stay in an environment that caused that pain and you're not doing anything new,
you're not trying
to communicate in any new way, like, yeah, you're not changing the environment. That's not going to be useful at all.
Right. And if you're not both doing the individual work, what I see most often is one member of the couple is, they both start the marathon at the same time, but one person like continues the marathon training. The other one's like, half mile or half marathon was good for me. I'm good. I'm just going to pop off over here by the water tent. And the other person's like, I'm training for the like human version of the Iditarod or the Olympics or whatever. Like I'm going the distance. And somewhere along the way, there's a disconnect in the healing of like taking it upon oneself to go to individual therapy, which can also make the environment, to your point of when we're recreating in couples therapy, one of us has, like, to use an architecture analogy or metaphor, whatever, I never get those right. One of us has a lot more tools and training, and one of us is coming there with, like, the play school little thing, you know, like the little kid's toy with, like, the screwdriver and the hammer and maybe, yeah, like a plastic saw. And the other one of us has, like, the full Milwaukee drill set, whatever else. And we're like, okay, we're ready to do this. And the
DeWalt, couple, please.
Right, it's DeWalt. DeWalt. Sure. Sorry. My apologies. We're not sponsored by either of them. However, if you want to know, Home Depot, get at us. But you think about it, like, what tools does each couple, what tools does the couple have, and what tools does each individual have? Because we can also use, if one person's a little further ahead than the other, let's rely on those strengths. Like, hey, you've mastered how to do this. Can you teach me? Rather than, I'll never be good enough for you because you have all this experience and fill in the blank. And it's like, you could too. Like, you could also go to therapy and read the same books and podcasts and learn the same. So we have the tools to, like you're saying, make the environment different. Otherwise, no, it is not safe to just stay in an unhealthy or unhealthy or toxic relationship, and us thinking our own individual work is going to be enough to change it. It's going to change your own perspective, but it's not going to change the environment.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that scenario tends to be that then the person doing the work in a toxic relationship starts healing parts of themselves and then realizes, oh, I don't need to be in a toxic relationship. I'm out.
That's my the best audio on Instagram. I think it's from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and the chief, he's like looking off in the distance. He goes, oh no. And like realizes what, you know, like whatever, your intuition is right, or relationship's actually toxic. It's when you go in and do the individual work that you, like you're saying, it's like, oh yeah, I don't know if this environment's ever going to be healthy for me, healthy enough for me to want to stay in it or to be able to repair.
Yeah. My last thought for healing in a relationship is kind of more boiling down, like, in a sense, how I think about stuff. And I want to point out to listeners, like, notice, like, what I'm talking about is using the present moment to deal with past hurt and future fears.
Yep.
It's a lot, you know, hopefully this is, like, it sounds simple, but it's also very actionable, like, three-step process, in a sense, of how to use the present relationship, the present love between two people, when you're sitting next to someone in the room, to feel that and let that love, that intimacy, that connection wash over you, and allow that be the healing, again, for the past hurts and the future fears. Present moments as the healing tool.
Mm-hmm.
And getting good at both partners knowing how to stay present and just attuned to the relationship in the present moment, and then also get really good at, that's the conversation, and knowing that that's how you shift from talking about the dishes, the sink, into this is what's really going on, this is what to look for, and then going, hey, let's have a healing moment.
So, mm-hmm.
Present process is my big wrap on how to use healing in a relationship.
Good advice. I would say the only other thing I wouldn't add, but like as an adjacent, would be if you are the person who has that outlook, because I'm like that as well. I don't trust anyone. let me correct myself. I trust rarely, not often. And when I do trust, please don't break it, because it takes a lot for me to trust in the first place. And if you break it, I will be hurt and angry. So
a lot of healing. From that place.
Takes a lot of healing from that, if you're the philosophy. So if you have that, or you have PTSD, I'm always working through mine in my individual therapy and EMDR, that it sometimes can be difficult to stay in the present moment. However, whatever tools and resources you have individually to ground yourself in it, it really does help to acknowledge, like, okay, did I just react because this is truly present moment, something to heal? Or did my past just come and eclipse the present moment, and I am not able to stay present? So either way, use your skills and tools, and rely on, as much as it can be scary, and I go through this too, just so you know, you're not alone. Rely on your partner at times to be like, hey, can we just double check? Like, is this what you meant by that? Because here's where my brain went, like you and I have talked about before. Use those scripts, and your partner can then help you heal in live time, which also prevents a resentment from building if we're able to heal in the present moment.
Yeah. Love that. Love that. And that is goes an important point of a lot of times needing to do some of your own stuff so you can show up in relationship.
Yes, definitely.
And be able to access these types of ways of relating so that you can have healing and use the relationship as a healing mechanism.
Yes.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Love it.
All right. Let's call that a show. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening.
We appreciate it. If you got
questions for us or feedback on your favorite power tool brand, go ahead and shoot us an email, Ryan and Talia at thecouplesguidepodcast.com.
And we might see you at your local Home Depot. No, just kidding. Our next episode will be live.
Live at Home Depot.
All right. Thank you. You good? Thank you, everyone. And we will all see you next week or 2 weeks.
Take good care.